And thank all of you for joining us tonight. The Lord has asked me to speak about something that is really so important to us. I think probably all of you have a general idea. But for some reason, he wants me to speak on specific points of our present and our future America. This would be if the Lord did not intervene for lack of interest of the American people. I should say the church, because really the church is the one that has the capacity to stand as one who is standing in the gap for the nation. Even if the nation has its weaknesses and its rebellion and so on and so forth, if God has a church that hungers and thirsts for him and desires to see his plans come into being in the nation in which they dwell, God will do it. He will do it as long as he has a people who will stand with him, who will walk with him. And so what I want, and what I'm really feeling strongly that he wants us to do tonight, is look partially at the reality of where we are at this moment under this administration, and just a little peek at what he wants to do through the coming administration. But I want you to think, please, as I am talking, as I'm sharing with you the Lord's heart, I want you to think, what if the church didn't arise? And remind God of his covenant promises on behalf of America. And what if all that God wanted to do for America, he was prohibited in doing for lack of an intercessor? And where do I want to stand in the light of God's plans versus the plans of darkness? Some Christians think that, you know, as long as they love God, maybe going to church, being nice to people, some Christians believe that God will take care of America. Some Christians feel that it's imperative for the church to pray, for the church to become, as it were, interventionist. Some people understand that what God is really looking for is really twofold. Number one, that we believe in his righteousness, his holiness, his power, and his covenant promises made to a people who will do their part in bringing forth the pathway or the road to the fulfillment of these covenant promises. And then number two, that the church realizing that they have a place to be able to turn the heart of God to the point that no matter how far gone the nation is to the hands of evil because of those who have taken it upon themselves to be the covering of America as they hand it over to the beast. They still believe that because God has never changed, not yesterday, not today, and he will be the same yet tomorrow, that if he is saying, if you will, I will, if you will do such a small thing as it will take, I will do the great thing that it must take to bring things back around, to entrap your enemy and bring them to naught in their plans and purposes. And if you're one of those, I think tonight is going to bring faith to your heart. It's going to bring energy to your faith. And I believe that probably most, maybe even all, everyone that's on the line is of that sort. So it's important that you hear, but that you don't hear just for the sake of knowing. But in knowing, you're going to let God grant a divine stimulus to your heart and to your faith to arise in this hour and do everything within your power to save your nation. The Lord created me, and these are his words, not mine. But he created me and created the call that you and I stand under to save America. Again, those were his words. When I first began promoting the Gathering of the Eagles, it was under the title Save America, because that's what he spoke to me. He said, this is your purpose for living. This is the thing I created you to do. To do what I say, to stand in the gap, and to save America. So all those that he draws to me are here for the purpose of supporting this vision of the Lord to save America. I can remember in the very beginning, this was before the first meeting that I ever had, and it was just before, a couple of hours before. I was meeting with people who had come early just to spend time in prayer with me for that week of meetings. And I began to talk to the people, not about patriotism, but about loving America enough to do whatever it would take to save America. And one of the people that was at the meeting spoke out and said, this is not some kind of patriotic move. And if it is, I'm going to leave. And I encouraged that prophet just to wait things out. We can talk after the meeting and see how he feels then. What I was saying was not to try to impart patriotism into the heart of anyone, but the love of God's will for this nation. if he wants to pour out his judgment upon America and it's too late to do anything else but that, I want that because he wants it. Not because I want to see America judge, but I do want to see America pure for his glory's sake. But if God wants to turn things around, and he has given the ability through our prayers, our faith, and our action, why would I want judgment to come when God is crying out to us, help me save America? Well, when that prophet was getting ready to leave that week of meetings, he came up to me, apologized to me, told me he understood now where my heart was, and then he thought it was a beautiful thing. Now, better than 20 years later, it's more beautiful than ever because I've learned how far America has fallen. Talking about the prodigal son, we have got a prodigal nation, but one that God still wants to use to bring great glory to his name and to fulfill his purposes. So I'll stop there and move into what he's asked me to share with you tonight. Psalm 2, we're going to quickly move through the whole psalm because he told me late morning that Psalm 2 is a prophetic message about this present hour, including the work and purposes of the United Nations versus God's children. So we're going to come at it from that perspective. In verse 1 it says, Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Let me move over to the Amplified because the print is larger and I can read it easier. Why do the nations assemble with commotion, uproar, and confusion of voices? And why do the people imagine and meditate upon and devise an empty scheme? The kings of the earth take their places and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed one, that is the Messiah, the Christ. So here we are, a perfect picture of what is happening at this very hour. The kings of the earth have gathered together in what they now call the United Nations. The United Nations was created to bring the New World Order into the world. It was never created just to be a kind of big brother situation where crises happen in this nation or that, and they send out their teams of people to help the nation through that. That is not the purpose of the United Nations. The purpose of the United Nations from beginning to end was to create the New World Order. So the nations have assembled, and they assemble often in the United Nations building to further the plans and dictates of the New World Order. They have imagined a vain thing. They have devised an empty scheme. And that scheme is to bring the nations of the earth together to create a single government that would rule the nations of the earth right there in that place. Now, think about this. One of my many trips to Israel, I was told that there is a secret plan in the workings to move the United Nations to Israel. Imagine that. Since the United Nations was not created to save Israel just because they love the Jewish people, but rather to promote their one world government from within the palm of the Middle East, and the very heart of that being Israel. It is an amazing thing to me that sometimes they act like Israel's worst enemy. But I suppose they have to do whatever they think they have to do to keep every nation under control. And here we have the workings. We see the workings of the potential of the New World Order government. The kings of the earth take their places. The rulers take counsel together. Isn't this an amazing statement against the Lord and his anointed, against Yahweh and his anointed or his son? The nations have come together to bring about a government dedicated to fighting Yahweh and his Christ. Now, knowing that, I'd have a hard time wanting to be a part of the United Nations. I can remember one time when I was touring on a prayer journey, and we went to the United Nations, and I'm standing outside because they hadn't opened yet, and I saw demons coming in, literally, not just, you know, your run-of-the-mill demons, but those with tremendous authority among the nations. I saw them flying in and suddenly taking up and standing shoulder to shoulder over the circumference of the United Nations building. And I asked the Lord who these evil spirits were. And he spoke to me saying, these are the dominions that fly here, come here. He didn't use the word fly, actually. Come here every day that the United Nations building is open to ensure that Satan's purposes and plans will be brought into reality. They're sent here by the higher powers of the countries that they represent to ensure Satan's will be accomplished. They are working together to determine their war against the Father and against his Christ. Let's take a look at verse 3 and see if it doesn't tell us that very thing. Let us break their bands of restraint asunder and cast their cords of control from us. This is what the people in the United Nations, many, many meetings that they have, this is the ultimate goal. This is the ultimate purpose for this organization. I can remember on the same trip that I just shared with you over seeing a vision, and there is a particular room that is in the United Nations where countries come and have quite large meetings. And I saw standing down on the by the pulpit of this particular room, Satan. He was directing the meeting. He was standing behind a man. I don't know who the man was, but he was, through that man, directing the meeting there at the UN. What was his goal? Breaking the bands of righteousness asunder so that they will no longer be impeded by the Father, by the Messiah, or by the church. Then verse 4 tells us, he who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord has them in derision and in supreme contempt. He mocks them. So we have, I had another experience that kind of fits in with this too, to try to make a rather serious point. I was behind a pulpit on the platform in New Orleans when I saw this huge, huge, huge mountain. The mountain was so vast, I wouldn't even know how to describe it, but it was a huge mountain, and over the mountain was the word truth. And the Spirit spoke to my heart and told me, this is the mountain of truth. Now watch. And I saw the leaders of the world coming with pitchforks, with axes, and every kind of instrument you could imagine. And they're standing down around the bottom of this mountain. And they're hacking away at this mountain, pounding away, trying to break this mountain down so that it would literally fall into the sea or the earth, any place to get rid of it. And they could not touch that mountain or hurt its value one little iota. They look like a bunch of ants standing at the bottom of, I don't know, Mount Rushmore or something. I mean, it was just ridiculous. It was absurd to watch. But even so, the Lord laughed in derision, creating a derision against these leaders. He laughed. He mocked them for what they were trying to do. He speaks to them in his deep anger and troubles, terrifies and confounds them in his displeasure and fury, saying, Yet have I anointed and installed and placed my king firmly on my holy hill of Zion. And that was the mountain of truth that I just told you about. I will declare the decree of the Lord, he said to me. You are my son. This day I declare I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth as your possession. Now, when people tell me, why are you praying for America? Why don't you just pray for the church, because that's what matters? Well, I have to tell them that the Bible says that Jesus asks the Father for America as a gift, and the Father gave it to him. Now, if America was important enough to Christ that he would ask the Father to give him America as a gift, Do you think it should be important enough to us to treat this gift of which we are a part and given to the Son by the Father with respect, that we would pray for it, that we would believe for God's plans and purposes to be realized in this nation, and that we would see a mighty outpouring of the grace of the kingdom of God in America? If it's important to him, should it not be important to us, is the question. He says to Christ, "You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like potter's ware. Now therefore, O you kings, act wisely, be instructed and warned. O you rulers of the earth, serve the Lord with reverent awe and worshipful fear. Rejoice and be in high spirits with trembling, lest you displease him." Could you imagine for just a moment, they're having this very, very important meeting in the heart of the United Nations. And the thing that they're discussing is breaking the yoke of Christ from off the nations of the earth. That's what they're talking about. Satan is standing up there as the head, enjoying everything that he's hearing, thinking soon, very soon, my plans and purposes will come into being. Then he hears, it's brought to his memory that Christ was given these nations as an inheritance. And maybe one of the most of those gifts is America. Maybe the two most important gifts in the whole pile, Israel and America. He remembers once again that these gifts were given to the Son of God, and you're not going to rip a gift out of the hands of the Son of God easily. And then he hears the Father's voice speaking to the Son. And he says to the Son, your inheritance in the uttermost parts of the earth as your possession I give. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like potter's ware. In other words, I will hold the church close to my bosom. But those who are in this meeting and who represent those who want to bring forth the plan of darkness, I will break them with a rod of iron. We see reference to this very thing again in the book of Revelation, the 12th chapter. But I'm not going to turn there tonight. That promise was given to Messiah, and it's going to be fulfilled. It will be fulfilled. These kings that are trying to destroy the mountain of truth in the earth will find in the end that they have been deceived. Truth will stand, darkness will fail. Now therefore, O you kings, act wisely, be instructed and warned, O you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with reverent awe and worshipful fear. Rejoice and be in high spirits with trembling. Kiss the Son and pay homage to him in purity, lest he be angry with you and you perish in the way. We must always remember that the Son of God rules and reigns in majesty. He rules and reigns, being the Son of God, in all power and all authority. He bears the Spirit without, beyond measure. There are no boundaries. We are coming into a time when darkness is going to be pushed back. The light is going to be exposed, and the light is going to expose those things that are so offensive to the Lord, that he might rule in the midst of the people, that he might reign in majesty, in righteousness, in holiness. But just as importantly, rule and reign in love. He is going to pour out his Spirit. We are going to see the phenomenal things happen. Although America is going to go through the testing and the trials, that those who are willing to stand, as they are empowered by the grace of God, they're going to arise and fight for this nation. And the question is tonight, where are you? Will you continue to stand no matter what you see until God's man is put back into the presidency and we see a new authority given to blow away the refuge that has been piled upon this nation? Will you stand? Will you stand no matter what the cost? Will you stand and believe when it looks like you may have lost your hope? Will you trust that God is not a man that he can lie? Will you trust that no matter what is happening before your very eyes, what you're not seeing are those things that are taking place behind the veil to bring forth the ultimate promise for America first, for Israel, for the nations of the earth? God is going to have his harvest. He told me face to face, I promise you, face to face, that if we would do this work of the gatherings, bringing America in under God's covenant promises through repentance, that he would pour out his Spirit upon the earth, and that he would have his harvest before he would let justice and judgment come upon the unrepentant to the magnitude that has been assigned. But he also said, if you do not do everything within your power to obey this commission, I will have to let America undergo the judgment without revival. That is up to you. What will you do? Well, I cried out to him and I told him I would do whatever he asked me to do. I didn't want to see America lost. I didn't want the sorrow of his heart to come to such fullness that he had no choice but to judge massive judgments upon this country. That wasn't my heart. That wasn't my desire. I wanted to see him pleased. I wanted to see him comforted in watching his Spirit poured out upon the nations of the earth and brought into a place of rest under his protection. Satan is working a work, and he's going to keep working a work. He's not ever going to quit until he is so subverted, forced by the very authority and power of God to stay under that submission, unable to hurt another person on the face of the earth again. He will work his ugly work until he feels like he has got it in his hand. And just about that time, God is going to slap his hand and the whole thing is going to be thrown into the abyss. But you and I, we must stay stable. We must stay stable if no one else knows how to stay stable. We must stay stable and continue in our intercessions, continue coming together until we see the promises being fulfilled that God has given us for these hours in this nation and on behalf of the nations of the earth. So I want to thank you every time you come on this line and we're able to pray together. I want to thank you. We have lost nothing. It doesn't matter who's in the presidency before man at this point, because the one that God had assigned is still moving as one who had the seat, because he's been given that authority to do. When I said he would be the next president, God never changed his mind. We have the proof. We have the facts that he won the election. And assuredly, as we have those facts, we know that this man was created to do what he is doing, to bring healing to this nation. You must stand behind him if you want to stand for God's will in America. Now, I know those are strong words, my friends, but sometimes we have to be strong to remind ourselves of what it's all about. We will win if we won't quit. We will win. And all the reasons that God has brought this man front and center, we will be brought to birth in glory beyond anything you can imagine, if we will not quit. Thank you.